We will get knocked down, but we will rise again. Some are here right now in this moment living out that truth. You have been knocked down, but you are here. Some of you watching right now, you are being knocked down, but the Lord grabs your hand and raises you up. You're not done. I'm not done with you, says the Lord. You will rise again by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to Live in the Light, friends. We're thankful as always for your joining us here today. And today is a day of justice. With so much wrong around us, we can be tempted to forget, can't we, that God is in control, not just over the big events, but also the small and even the very small. And when it comes to seeking justice, whether it's in our lives or our cities or our countries and even our world, we must remember to turn our hearts to the Lord. Today in Psalm 37, the psalmist directs us to see the Lord and his opposition, his powerful, unstoppable work against the wicked. Here's Pastor Robbie with today's encouraging message entitled, I'm with the Lord.
Psalm 2, look at this in Psalm 2. This verse is so similar to our text today. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers to take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed saying. See, the nations are raging, the people plotting in vain, the rulers taking counsel against the Lord, against his anointed. They say, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords. But he who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord holds them in derision. You see, this is why we're with the Lord. We're with the Lord again because he laughs at the wicked man. I'm sticking with the Lord. I hope you are too in the days that we live. Point number two is this. Here's why I'm with the Lord. Because little with the Lord is better than the abundance with the wicked. Little with the Lord is better than abundance with the wicked. Look at verse 16. It says, better is little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Okay, so this right here is such an important principle of faith for the Christian life. Over and over again, this is repeated in the Bible. Why? Because the Lord wants us to have faith. Because we are slow to believe. The Bible tells us again and again and again, it's better to have the Lord and nothing than to have the abundance and not have the Lord. It's infinitely better to have little and Jesus than to have everything and to not have Jesus. As one person said in the past, put it this way, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Think about that. And that is very, very true. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That is why, church, we're with the Lord. We're with the Lord because there's no other option. Now, this concept of little in our day, especially in the Western world, this idea of little is almost like an anathema to most people. The world under Satan's influence preaches more hard. Like more every day, so hard. Get more, accumulate more, gather more, build more, store more, show more, flaunt more, 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 more. More of that which rots. That's what the world preaches under Satan's leadership every single day we live. Then Jesus comes on the scene and Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Again, from last week, in the example from Luke chapter 16, the rich man and his sumptuous feasts and all his riches compared to Lazarus, again, at the gate with nothing and dogs licking sores. But in the end, the point of that parable, that story told by Jesus, is again, in the end, for Lazarus to have little, he ends up having everything with Christ. And the rich man who has the abundance in his wickedness, in the end, has nothing. This takes faith, doesn't it? This takes faith to live this way, where every day you and I live, we are being pumped with all the information to the opposite and the contrary. My identity, my value, my comfort, my ease, my appearance, everything is rooted in the abundance of what the world says is where value and purpose is really found. Jesus says the exact opposite. Jesus tells the parable of the man, again, who stumbles upon the field. He finds the treasure. He sells everything he has, because once he has the field, he has the treasure. When he has the treasure, he has everything. The treasure is the gospel. The treasure is Jesus Christ. This is why the apostle Paul said, I count all things as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He counts all things as loss. Everything else is seen as nothing compared to Jesus Christ. Better is little and the Lord than the abundance of the wicked. I mean, that is such a powerful, powerful way to live. It is not common, but it is possible to believe by faith, I can have nothing but have everything in Jesus Christ. Because look at verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. Look at that. The Lord is taking care of his own loved ones. It is infinitely better to have little and the Lord, because listen, the day is coming soon where the inheritance is going to be given. The day of the inheritance of Jesus Christ by faith in him, forgiveness of sins. That is the day where death will be defeated and our heritage, the text says, will remain forever. This is the day there will be no shame. This is the day we will be delivered from all sin forever, and instead we will receive eternal glory with Jesus Christ. Yes, we struggle now, but soon we will feast on the eternal riches of Jesus Christ. This is how the Apostle Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at on this theme of having little yet having everything, as we are unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, or sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. That's it right there. Having nothing, but in reality, Paul says, we have everything because we have Jesus Christ. This is why we're with the Lord. You can have nothing but have everything. Because you have life in Jesus Christ. This is why so many martyrs have sung at their death. As they are being put to fire at the stake, as their heads are about to be cut off, they are singing praises to Jesus Christ, because in the end, they know they have nothing, but in Jesus Christ, they have everything. Lord, help us to live this way more and more and more. I think it's going to be asked of us. Of course it is. I read all this and I say, wow, man, I'm with the Lord. I'm with the Lord. Again, what's the alternative? I'm with the Lord, man. Who is as awesome as our God? Let me ask this. Who are you with today? Like truly, what we do now is we say, if I look at our lives, or we look at our lives, or I look at your life the past day, week, month, year, what is our life truly telling us? Who are we actually with? Are we with the world in the way we live? And the way we use resources, and the way we spend our time, and the affections of our heart, are we with the world or are we with the Lord? See, for anyone alive in Jesus Christ, the idea of being with the world as opposed to Jesus Christ is the stupidest thing ever based on what we're seeing today. Why would you give your life to nothing in the end to have nothing? But rather to have little and to have everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because again, the Bible's very clear. Look at verse 20. So clear. Look at verse 20. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. Wow. And how many times the Bible says kind of illustrations, metaphors like this, grass withering, herb withering, puff of smoke vanishing. But here's the thing, right? The puff of smoke in our day. For many of us, we say, oh, but it's a nice looking puff of smoke. Oh, but it's an entertaining puff of smoke. Oh, it's a popular puff of smoke. Oh, it's a very pretty puff of smoke. Oh, it's a buzz-inducing puff of smoke. Oh, it's a puff of smoke with 200 million followers. Yes, but it's a puff of smoke. It's a puff of smoke. It's that transient. It's that frail. It's that meaninglessness. You light a match and you blow it out and the smoke just goes. It's gone. Representing the wicked of our day. Some of us are tempted to worship the puff of smoke. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for being so dumb and for falling into such traps of the enemy. Let me ask you this. How will that puff of smoke do up against the return of Jesus Christ riding on the clouds in all his glory? How will that puff of smoke do? The puff of smoke will vanish into thin air and be gone forever at the very voice of Jesus Christ. Man, I start to play that movie in my head and it's very encouraging for me to do so. And my response is, I'm with the Lord, man. Like on that day, like I want to be with the Lord. My goodness, to not be with the Lord and to be the puff of smoke facing the radiance of the glory and the majesty of God. The vast majority of our world will be that puff of smoke. To be, man, I'm with him. He goes, I'm with him. I'm with him, man. Look at him. Here he goes. I'm with him. That's awesome. I'm with the Lord. Say it then, say it now. I'm with the Lord. This week, reading Romans 8 in my personal readings, if God is for us, who can be against us? I'm with the Lord, man. If God is on my team, who can be against me? Who can be against us? Who can be against our church? If God is for us, man, I'm with the Lord. Also this week, Psalm 20, verses 7 and 8, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They, right? They collapse and fall. We will rise and stand upright. I'm with the Lord, man. Because little with the Lord. Some of you right now, you are tempted to want more. You're tempted to look across the street, look at neighbor and say, I want the car, I want the house, I want this, I want the paycheck, I want more. If you could stop and be still and take a deep breath and say, man, treasures on earth will rot, but treasures in heaven, better is little with the Lord than all the riches you could ever want. To live that out right now, man, your life would change. The freedom, the peace, the joy, the blessing, the release of greed, the release of envy, the release of covetousness, the release of sin in abundance, the release of it all to say, I trust that better is to have little with the Lord because the day is coming so soon where all that matters is the Lord. And then you're able to say, I'm with the Lord, man. I'm with the Lord. Reason number three. That I'm with the Lord because his ways lead to life. Look at verse 21. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. So if you look at verses 21 and 22 here, you see two options in life. Option number one, inherit the land with God Almighty. Option number two, be cut off with the wicked. Which one should I choose? Man, this is a tough one. Let me think about it. With the Lord forever, promised land coming, or to be cut off with the wicked. Also in these verses, two options. I can believe in the Lord and be blessed, or I can reject the Lord and be cursed. Let me see, which one do I want? Which one should I choose? It's incredible how many people choose to reject the Lord and therefore choose to be cursed. That's the hardness of the human heart and the blindness of sin. We are presented with the riches of faith and glory in Jesus Christ and forgiveness and eternal life. Some of you are here right now and you've never bowed your knee and placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You are choosing to be cursed by the Lord as opposed to be blessed by him with life forever. God help us to see. It seems so simple, but we still must tell this message over and over and over again. I was at a store in the last week or so, and I just went to pay for an item. And in the end, it was just saying, asking my name, and my email came up. And the man there, he says, Hope Oakville, what's that? And I said, well, it's a church. And he goes, I was wondering about that. And we started talking. It was a very kind of interesting conversation, and I was encouraged by it. But I remember he's like, yeah, I really think that a lot of people kind of need faith these days. I said, hey, do you have a question I like to ask people a lot? I think it's very helpful, wise, and not so intrusive. I say, do you have a faith background? Do you have any faith background? He's like, no, I don't. And I said, we talked a little bit more too, as it just happened to work out. There wasn't too many people lining up and stuff. And I said, let me ask you this. What do you believe happens when you die? And I tried to ask in a way, I was just genuinely like, well, I just want to know, what do you believe happens when you die? It was like this man had never been asked that question in his life. I got to admit, it was like an awkward yet powerful moment. He kind of started fidgeting a little bit and he was trying to wrestle with the answer and he kind of said whatever. I said, here's what I know, man. And just limited time we're in. I said, here's what I know is that I can't imagine living without the purpose and passion and knowing Jesus Christ. Without him, I just wouldn't know why I live. I have to know what happens in the end of that. And all I know in that moment, seeds were being planted. People need to hear. And for all the media and for all the messaging, there are millions of people that are desperately dying to hear a message of hope and life. There's so many people, they're hearing the media, but they see through it. They know that's not working. That doesn't add up. There's more than this. There must be more. And to point people to Jesus Christ and to say, listen, I'm with the Lord because his ways lead to life. In the end, that's why we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. Loved ones, we must continue to testify that his ways alone lead to life. So many searching, so many are hurting. The darkness grows, the pressure to capitulate grows with it. The cultural lies advance every day. But what are our options, right? What are our options? I'm with the Lord. In him, there is life. The promised land is coming. John 16 on the screen for you. In this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. He has caused us to inherit the land. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says of those before us that they desired a better country. A better country. They understood why they lived. Many of you right now hurting. Many of you right now here sorrowful. Listen. Sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That's the hope. That's the inheritance of the land. Listen, sorrow may last for the night. Blessed are you who weep, for you shall laugh. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall weep. Sorrow may last for the night. Joy comes in the morning. That's dating myself right there too, man. But yeah, it's true and it's awesome. This is why we're with the Lord. Now, I just want you to see this before we move on from this. I want you to notice the first word in verse 22, for, in my translation, for, which is an explanation of verse 21. So watch this. Because we have been given life and quote, land in Christ, therefore, we are the outworking of this. We are to be generous and give. See verse 21, the wicked borrows, does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. The wicked hoard are greedy and stingy, but believers are so eager that others know Christ that they give. They're so passionate about the kingdom. So this is cool. One of the ways we know we're with the Lord, according to this verse right here, one of the ways we know we're with the Lord is generosity in our lives. That's super encouraging. One of the ways we know we're with the Lord, that he's working in our lives, is that we're so eager for others to hear the gospel and be saved in the gospel that we are generous towards the kingdom. For individuals like Elijah that we heard today on the video. And so many more. So just to recap, I'm with the Lord because he laughs at the wicked, because little with him is better. Because his ways lead to life. And then point four, love it. I'm with the Lord because I may stumble, but I may not fall. I may stumble, but in the end, I will not fall. Look at verse 23 now. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Listen, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Several other translations in verse 24, they say this, though he stumble, he shall not fall. The meaning here is that we get knocked down. We will get knocked down. Are you ready, church? But in Christ, we will rise again. We will get knocked down, but we will rise again. Some are here right now in this moment living out that truth. You have been knocked down, but you are here. Some of you watching right now, you are being knocked down, but the Lord grabs your hand and raises you up. You're not done. I'm not done with you, says the Lord. You will rise again by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 24, verse 16 has always been one of my favorites. Spoken over me before. For the righteous falls seven times and rises. What does this tell you, eh? Seven times. Again, the number for plentiful and just indicating for us it's going to happen a lot. The righteous falls seven times and rises again. Some of you are here, man, and you find yourself in the ditch again. You've been knocked down. You've been hurt. You've been opposed. You've been wounded. And yet the Lord, even in this moment, using this very verse and this very text, that you will rise again because you belong to the Lord. But the wicked stumble in times of calamity. I may fall or I may stumble, but I will not fall. I may fall, but I will rise again. Oh, may the Lord encourage us supernaturally right now. How many times we've been in the ditch, and yet. Hey, how many times we've wanted to give up. I mean, just think your own life. How many times you've wanted to give up, and yet. Just think how many times we've fallen in sorrow, crying ourselves to sleep, sensing darkness all around us, fighting against despair and depression. And yet, how many times we've stumbled in our sin? How many times we've been pummeled with accusation from the enemy? And yet, how many times we've strained to see life through the tears in our eyes of sadness and grief. And yet, the righteous falls seven times, he will rise again. 2 Corinthians 4, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down. Say it with me right here, three words, but not destroyed. Struck down, say it with me, but not destroyed. But not destroyed. Look at this. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Wow. So that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. We may be struck down. We will not be destroyed. This is why I'm with the Lord, man. Is you may stumble, but you will not fall. You may fall, but you will rise again. Well, loved ones, only the Lord can do this. The wicked will stumble. They will not rise again. They will fall. They will be cast down forever. But this is why we're with the Lord. We're with the Lord because he upholds us. The text says numerous times. And notice this, loved ones, notice this. It's not the promise we will never stumble. It's the promise we will rise again. Look at verse 25, last two verses. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously and his children become a blessing. Oh, look at the encouragement for your family and your children right here. For those who delight in the Lord, the promise here for those who commit to the Lord, for those who trust in the Lord, for those who follow the Lord, for those who have faith in the Lord, the command is here. The Lord takes care of his own. It's not that they don't go through trial. It's not that they don't stumble. It's not that there's not pain. It's not that there's not sorrow at times. But in the end, the Lord will have his way. The Lord wins on our behalf. And in this case, the promise is, and his children will become a blessing. Awesome. Many of us in the darkness that surrounds us, we are so stressed and worried for our family and for many of us, we say, I don't care what happens to me, but my kids. The Lord says to you today, you delight in me, I'll take care of your kids. You trust me, I got your back. You follow me, you delight in me, I'll make sure your family becomes a blessing on my time and my way. That is an awesome promise today. That's why I'm with the Lord. And that is why all of us today renewed in reality. Again, the darkness. What's God doing? He's laughing. He's laughing at the darkness. God, help us to laugh a little more too. In the right sense of that. His children become a blessing. We look at our passage, we see the truth, the power of the Lord, his grace, his generosity and glory. And I got one phrase. I'm with him, man. I'm with him. I like my chances. I'm with him. Hey, question. Are you with the Lord? Are you with the Lord? Hey, maybe today's a moment of confession again. Maybe today is a day of rededication. Maybe in the past several months, you've strayed. Maybe in the past several months, you've wandered. Maybe in the past several months, you'd be more with the world than with the Lord. Today can be a day of confession, rededication. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. And today, for the first time ever, you see Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead to forgive your sins and to defeat death forever, that you can become one of his children, that you forever can say, I am his and he is mine. I shall not die. I'm with the Lord. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. You, the Bible says, you shall be saved. Maybe today's a day of confession and today's a day of rededication. Lord, I need to get back on track. Lord, I need you. Lord, I say, whatever else happens, I'm with the Lord. I'm with the Lord. Because again, in the end, what's your plan B? Whatever it is, it stinks. And whatever it is, it doesn't work. And hopefully you already know that already. Lord, we're with you. Hope Church, we're with the Lord. Amen. Hope Bible Church, we declare publicly together, our plan A is the Lord and there is no plan B. May it be so. May it be so in Jesus' name. Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads right now. And I just pray maybe again, what do you need? Confess. I wonder if today is a day of rededication for some. I wonder if today is a day of salvation for some. We just take a moment right now. Lord, I confess you are everything. Better is a little with the Lord than the abundance with the wicked. Oh God, I pray you will use this time. You will use this text. We with joy will see there's no one like our God. Lord, I pray many men, women, children today rededicating their lives at this point to say, Lord, I have wandered, I've strayed today. Today I say, I am with you. We pray this together now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, well, an encouraging message for sure. We pray God has done just that in your heart, encouraged you as you have found your face fixed again at the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loved ones, if God's been stirring in your heart and you'd love to share it, reach out to maybe the Live in the Light team and maybe share a word of encouragement or even to grab a copy of today's message. Make sure you visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-LIGHT. At Live in the Light, we believe that through the faithful and the passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the Light.